Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Well, we have such a great setup. I finally sent that tweet out, by the way. Go to x.com/Aaron Flint. You can see the incredible backdrop for our Montana Talks remote broadcast studio here this morning. Thanks to our friends at the Montana Electric Cooperatives Association. Coming up Monday is their big co-op day at the Capitol, a day event. So if you're a co-op member like me, great opportunity for you to come to Helena, interact with your lawmakers. We're previewing that event here with our live show on this Friday. It was great just walking down the hallway here. Former state senator, now state representative Steve Fitzpatrick out of Great Falls. I said, hey, you want to pop on the microphone here? So, Representative Fitzpatrick, great to see you. And what do you want to tell folks across Montana?
Well, I think this is going to be an exciting session. We've got a lot of work to do, and we as Republicans, we're excited to get to business here. And we're going to have a heavy package of bills, and I think they'll be beneficial for the people of Montana.
You took the lead on some key bills that got across the finish line last time I'm around. Some of the judicial reform, initial pieces, you were working on. What were some of your other big achievements from the last session?
Well, last session, I think I ran about 40 bills. I think we got somewhere in 30 enacted. I had a couple tour reform bills, I think, which were pretty important for small businesses. We passed a products liability bill, which should prevent lawsuits against small business people. It's kind of a weird thing, but in tort law, you can sue a seller, even though they've never done anything to make the product, design the product. They just simply put it up on the shelf, and we helped get rid of that. So that should help Montana small businesses. That was just one. I mean, we had a couple other ones too, but I think that was the big one from the last session.
Yeah, very interesting. Well, and now, with the judicial reform, some of these 27 proposals, one of them is to establish like a business court. What do they call it? Like a chancery court, where you can take some of these business cases and focus them on a specialty business court. What do you think about that proposal?
It's an interesting proposal. There's some states that do that. I think Delaware, for example, they have a lot of corporate law and they have a special court there. It can definitely help. You get some of the more complicated business transactions and some of the corporate governance issues, and it can help to have a judge who has some expertise in the area. I think one of the things we're running into, particularly in the bigger counties, and I think Yellowstone County is a good example, is that you've got a lot of judges, but at some level it may make sense to start having specialty courts. And when I say specialty courts, I mean we can have a criminal division, maybe a civil division. They do that in other states, and I think it may make sense as we start to go forward in some of these larger counties. And I think Yellowstone would be an example, and potentially Missoula as well.
So even if you don't do one for the whole state, maybe certain counties start to see a little bit of a breakup with focus on specialty courts. That would be interesting. Yeah, because you look at like the Billings Heights, for example, alone is the population size of Butte, right? And that's just the Billings Heights alone. And so, yeah, and we keep hearing that these courts are, they don't have enough staff, they have too many cases, there's a backlog, et cetera. So it would seem like that might help with that, at least to speed up some efficiencies. All right, we got to take a quick break here on Montana Talks, broadcasting live from the Montana Capitol here, third floor fan window, if you want to drop by and see us if you're in Helena. Representative Fitzpatrick, I know you've got a meeting here in about 8 minutes, but if you want to stick around for a couple more minutes, we'd love to hear more from you here right after this with Montana Talks, broadcasting live thanks to the Montana Electric Cooperatives Association. Co-op Day at the Capitol is Monday.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. With cloudy skies and some scattered snow showers around the area today, up to an inch or two possible, mainly in the Bozeman area. Temperatures falling in the teens in Bozeman, falling back through the 20s in the Billings area. For tonight, scattered light snow showers with some light accumulations. Low temperatures from 3 above in Bozeman to about 12 in the Billings area. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
Fox on Football. I'm Jared Max. Only 7 games left in the NFL season. NFC divisional playoff game Saturday on Fox in Detroit between the Lions and the Washington Commanders, who were fresh off beating the NFC South champion Buccaneers last weekend in Tampa. Detroit has not played since 2 weeks ago. As the Lions earned a first-round playoff bye, they're favored to beat the Commanders by 2 scores. Kickoff on Fox, 8 p.m. Eastern Saturday. The winner will advance to the NFC Championship game against the winner of Sunday's contest in Philadelphia between the Eagles and Los Angeles Rams. The Eagles beat the Packers last week by 12 points before the Rams crushed the Vikings by 18. Divisional playoffs start Saturday afternoon in Kansas City, where the two-time reigning Super Bowl champion Chiefs will host the Houston Texans. The winner will move to the AFC title game against the winner of Sunday night's premier matchup in Western New York between MVP candidate quarterbacks Josh Allen of the Bills and Lamar Jackson of the Ravens. Jared Max, Fox News.
Hey, I know we've got a lot of Montana Talks listeners that are joining us from the Capitol. Maybe you're a state legislator. Maybe you're a citizen who's there to lobby for good legislation. Maybe you just live in Helena and you want to come join us for Friday's Montana Talks. Either way, want you to come by, say hi, join us on the microphone if you want to as well. We are going to be live from the Montana Capitol this Friday, previewing Monday's Co-op Day at the Capitol event, Monday, January 20th. Details at MontanaTalks.com.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, Representative Steve Fitzpatrick has to go right to a meeting here in about 2 minutes. So we'll jump right into it. Representative Fitzpatrick, you were telling us during the break here that there's probably going to be a number of bills coming up to rein in this crazy Supreme Court decision, the Held v. Montana case, the climate lawsuit, basically. So, yeah, tell us a little bit about what you see coming.
Well, we're going to have a whole package of bills to deal with it. I mean, obviously, the way the courts ruled, we're going to have to do analysis of greenhouse gas as part of state projects, but I think our goal here is to make it so it's not incredibly burdensome and actually blocking us from having an economy in the state. I think that's our number one goal, to make sure that we can, you know, continue with economic development in the state without allowing the courts to be a block to everything. So we're going to have a pretty good package. I know there's at least four that are in drafting now, and there's probably a couple more that are going to come out. We're going to go after all aspects of the Held decision. We're going to talk about remedies. We're going to talk about what gets analyzed. So it's going to be a complex package of bills, but I think hopefully if it's our best attempt to put the genie back in the bottle, so to speak. So our
economy uses that to shut down any project they want. They have veto authority over anything. Oh, you want to have a power line? Oh, you want a substation? You want, you know, energy? Nah, we're going to they could use that as an excuse to block anything, it seems.
No, that's right. And, you know, and I think if you start to think about it in context, yeah, we can determine how much greenhouse gas is being emitted from a refiner, for example. But if we start to go down the path of, you know, where it's drilled and how much CO2 gets burned on the coal train that travels through the state because it originates in Wyoming and goes to Washington, I mean, it's just going to get insane after a while. So we need to bring some common sense back into this discussion as well.
That's right. That's right. Well, hey, you got to run to your meeting. Thanks for being a few seconds late to that meeting to join us. It was great to hear from you, especially on this Held v. Montana stuff. So I appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks for stopping me.
Yeah, call in on the show anytime through the session, especially if there's Held v. Montana updates or whatever. That'd be great.
Oh, that's great. Thank you very much.
I appreciate it. Okay, next up, we've got a great lineup here. Thanks to Ryan Hall and Gary Weens with the Montana Electric Cooperatives Association. Great to see Representative Tracy Sharp out of Polson, Montana.
Right.
Hey, good to see you. I can't remember. Is this your first session?
Yeah, I'm a freshman. This is my first term.
We've known each other
for over half a decade.
That's
so
right.
we keep running into each other all the time. So, yeah, I'm a freshman. I'm on Judiciary, Energy, and Fish, Wildlife, and Parks. And really, Big Fork and the east side and the west side of Flathead Lake, that's my district. The district formerly held by Representative Bob Keenan.
That's what a boring district. I wish you could find a better view. You know?
Well, it's obviously the most beautiful spot on the face of the earth. So
the best place, I would totally agree with you.
It's great. So it's been a very interesting few weeks here as a freshman. So fire away.
I was going to say, yeah, I mean, you've been a freedom fighter, I know, at the grassroots level, and now you're in an official position. Carrie Seekins-Crow, we talked with her a few minutes ago.
Right.
She was the same way. We saw her. She was a grassroots, activist just trying to help her state and help her community, and now she's in the legislature. Same thing with
Right, me. And my first time that I had an opportunity to speak on the House floor was in support of her bill, House Bill 121. And that obviously came through the judiciary, and it's kind of interesting that that was the first time that I ever opened my mouth to speak in that hall of honor there, the House facility. So
yeah.
It was quite an honor, and I fully support that bill, as I stated on the floor.
It was so great to see all the Republicans stand together on that one, from my perspective anyway. Well, obviously, we're here with the electric cooperatives. They've got their co-op day at the Capitol coming up right. Monday. Energy. There's a great back and forth with President Trump's Treasury Secretary designee from Capitol Hill yesterday that I want to play at some point. But what's your plans for the Energy Committee in particular, or what are some specific bills you're working on in general?
Well, energy is absolutely critical to the state of Montana and to our citizens. You know, my approach has always been more and more and more across the board. We need energy from every source that we can get it from. The rich countries are the countries that do the least polluting. And right now, what's hurting us is the possibility of Montana becoming an energy importer instead of a net exporter. We can't allow that to happen. And I think that we're going to round the corner on this, because there are some tremendous technologies coming down the road, in particular in the nuclear area,
yeah,
that I think by around the 2030 timeframe are going to be game changers. And we need it, because we need an abundance of energy, not a shortage. And we certainly cannot pull those dams out of Idaho. The notion of getting rid of hydroelectric power for any reason at all is ridiculous, because we can accommodate the needs of fish. We've been doing it for years. And we have to remember that the history of these dams, like the Tennessee Valley Authority and all of these activities, really brought civilization to those areas and made it so that instead of having to go collect wood or do whatever to fix your dinner at night, you could flip a switch.
And you need to lighten the house, you could flip a switch. Right there in your district, which is, of course, the Kerr Dam.
That's right.
And your Polson. And so, yeah, we were talking, Caden, our great young producer, and I were talking off air earlier this morning, and he's like, clean energy or this, what does it matter? I said, great point. We just need energy, period.
That's right.
Whatever label you want to put it, we need more energy. We're in an energy race, and
right,
China is going to fuel their country and their economy, but we've got, you know, left-wing environmental right activists that want to strip away the power feeding this state.
I hear the music coming in there, but yeah, yep, we have to protect the citizens and make their life affordable by keeping energy at a reasonable cost for everyone.
Well, Representative Sharp, hey, call in whenever we have open phones. If you got something going on in the Capitol, just call into the show or message us on the app, and we
lots
can usually
going
find
on
a time.
Lots going on. Judiciary, you're just talking with him, and I'm on that committee, and so there's a lot going on there. It's really
awesome.
Good to see you again.
Good to
Aaron.
See you too. Thanks for dropping
we'll
in.
We'll be talking
this
again.
Is the Montana Economic Minute.
Most states have a dominant urban area. In Washington, it's Seattle or King County. And just about everything about the economy there is hugely different from the rest of the state. Incomes, housing prices, and growth. Montana doesn't follow that mold. Our bigger cities are closer to being equal sized. But the differences across the state, especially when it comes to growth, are no less dramatic. Unlike the children in Garrison Keillor's fictional Lake Wobegon, not all counties in our state can be above average when it comes to growth. But the speed at which some western and southwestern counties are diverging from the slower-growing Highline and eastern Montana counties is cause for concern. To take the most extreme example, over a five-year period since 2018, Gallatin County, which includes Bozeman, grew by more than 8% per year. On the other end of the spectrum, some of the more populous Highline and eastern counties have averaged negative growth. It's hard to strike a common theme and to have common interests when the gap in fortunes is so wide. I'm Patrick Barkey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.
Securing America.
Those responsible for securing America said thank you and farewell to their commander-in-chief Thursday, as President Biden was honored at a ceremony in Northern Virginia, where he was awarded the Distinguished Public Service Medal.
In the face of unparalleled national security challenges, American global leadership under President Biden left both the United States and the Department of Defense far stronger and far better postured for the challenges of the 21st century.
Both Joint Chiefs Chairman General C.Q. Brown and Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin cited the president's efforts to increase America's security through his work with our allies. The president himself thanked the troops, telling them,
"We never bend down. We bend down to no one."
While also anticipating the military's role moving forward.
If we don't lead the world, who will lead the world?
Kid Muretsky, Fox News.
This is where Montana talks ag with Lane Nordlund.
The Tax Cuts and Jobs Act will sunset at the end of 2025 if Congress doesn't extend the legislation or make the measures permanent. Successful Farming says provisions scheduled to end include a pass-through deduction for business owners, lower individual income tax rates, expanded tax brackets, and a higher estate tax exemption threshold. Other provisions in the act have already lapsed or begun phasing out ahead of the expiration. While manufacturing sectors would lose the most jobs, the report also says that agriculture, forestry, and the fishing and hunting industries could lose a combined 50,000 jobs, leading to lost wages and benefits totaling $3 billion and reduced economic activity of $10 billion. In other news, the U.S. is facing a critical shortage of livestock and poultry veterinarians, threatening public health, food safety, and agricultural communities. To address this, the Foundation for Food and Agricultural Research and the American Association of Veterinary Medical Colleges has established a veterinary student fellowship. This year, the program will expand its scope, eligibility, and impact, addressing challenges in nutritional security, environmental sustainability, and public health. Open to domestic and international DVM or VMD students, the fellowship requires no prior research experience or matching funds. For the application, visit the Foundation for Food and Agricultural Research. I'm Lane Nordlund.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, great to have a couple more lawmakers step up to the microphones here. Let's first start with Representative Jerry Schillinger out of, well, I would say out of circle, but he covers seven counties in eastern Montana in his district. Crazy. What is it, Jerry, over 530 miles to do a circle around your district?
Well, if you take the shortcut.
If you take the shortcut, yeah. You know, you got Representative Neil Durham out of Eureka next to you. With a name like Durham, he should move to eastern Montana and be a wheat farmer. I mean, what's he doing up there in northwest Montana?
Yeah, he'd be a natural up, especially in northeast Montana, where the real Durham country is.
That's right. Well, Representative Durham, since we're, you know, dropping your name already, good to see you as well. I know you've been working very closely with the Montana Electric Cooperatives Association on some, you know, important, you know, highway safety measures and things like that. In fact, I think they were having their mid-year meeting up in Eureka, and I think you were there speaking at the time when I popped in.
Well, thank you, Aaron, and thanks for all you do to get the word out. Yeah, highway safety, in general, safety is kind of what my general focus is.
Yeah. What are you focusing on this session? What are some of the big things, or just what do you want to tell people across Montana?
Well, each of us always carries a handful of bills. I have two bill hearings on Monday. One of them redefines person and as far as the Youth Act goes, it makes it back to where it was up until the last session. The last session, a bill came and changed person to actual person, and it seems a minor change, but where it applies is particularly for youth court. If a youth does damage to a corporation, business, or a government, youth court can't mandate that youth repay that damage.
Wow.
So we need to get that change back.
Yes.
That's a Monday morning bill hearing. Another bill hearing I have on Monday has to do with, I guess the concept is, any drugs that go in your body you should consent to, and anything else would be an assault. And like my coffee cup sitting here, if I walked away and Jerry put something in it that I didn't approve of, currently that's not against the law unless it's two specific drugs. And, of course, there's a lot of drugs out there. So my bill would make it essentially any scheduled drug, anything you need a prescription for, that you need to consent before that drug goes into your body. Of course,
and why is that important?
Well, why is that important? Benadryl is a good example. If someone wanted me to perform less than ideal, a spoonful of Benadryl in here, and I would be a walking zombie. So
you would look like some of these United States senators, you know.
Careful now. I voted for some of them.
Well, we got a young one now from Montana. Well, heck, even Steve Daines is young compared to some of those guys back there. Not that he's that old or anything, but that's very interesting. I love that first one you mentioned too, because we've really seen a breakdown in the moral contract in America. I mean, we're seeing that on full display in Los Angeles, where this looting is so widespread, people, you know, taking advantage of the victims of these fires, because it's just been a breakdown in the moral contract. And part of that is because they let people get away with the small things like the shoplifting and everything like that. And that's what leads to the big things, right?
Yep. And in general, especially in those big communities, they don't see their neighbor as their neighbor. Where, again, I think there's 600 miles or more between Jerry and I, and he's my neighbor. I love him. I love his family, and I just want prosperity to happen to him and him likewise for us up in Northwest Montana.
Well, Representative Jerry Schillinger, David Noble and I were talking yesterday, and he said he just had a great response. You helped you helped speak during the Freedom Caucus press conference the other night, and I didn't get a chance to watch all of it. But what do you want to tell folks across Montana?
Well, Aaron, thank you. And there's a lot of things, actually, and I would agree with Neil as far as us being neighbors and looking out for each other here. I would just go back a couple of years when they stopped through during harvest, and we had the good fortune of being able to take his young son on a combine ride, and his eyes really lit up with that. So it's this whole experience of being in the legislature is just a tremendous opportunity to meet new people and really get a, not just in legislators, but people that come from all over the state. And you mentioned the co-ops are going to be here on Monday, and they've been here actually quite a bit this week. And so I've had an opportunity to meet with different ones and just on an informal basis, you know, visit with them. But to get back to your original thought there on the Freedom Caucus, we had a press conference after the governor's State of the State the other night just to help outline what we think are why our friends, neighbors, and family sent us here to represent them. And that's what we try and keep in mind every day, is that that's all we are. We're just one of the folks out of the neighborhood there.
Don't forget who sent you in. And, you know, it's easy for people to come here and get just pummeled by all the community organizing groups and the activists that are able to make it to Helena all the time. But the rest of us still got jobs to do back home and kids back home. Well, gentlemen, thanks to both of you for joining us. Representative Neil Durham out of Eureka. I was in Eureka this summer. I had a great time seeing folks up there. And Representative Schillinger, great to see you as well. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks a lot, Aaron.
Thank you.
All right, appreciate it. They're going to pass off the headset microphone here to
form property taxes and whatever else you'd like to talk about.
Property taxes, let's start there. I had Representative Carlin, a Democrat, on yesterday, and then also the governor. Both of them were talking about a homestead property tax reduction or exemption, essentially. So if you were just listening, you might think that they were talking about the same thing, but they're two pretty different proposals, right?
Yeah, they're different proposals, and I'm supporting the homestead exemption, and that basically just is going to lower the rate on Montana homeowner tax rates for homes. But the Senate majority is looking at another issue, another plan, in addition to that, that I think makes a lot of sense with the bed tax. Right now, about $55 million of that bed tax goes to general fund, and some of it, then some goes to tourism promotion. But we'd like to take a good chunk of that bed tax and just do a line item credit on everybody's property tax bill. What's happening in Montana and all over the nation is you've got the federal government deficit spending trillions of dollars. That's inflating the money supply, which is causing the price increases of property, and you've got a lot of influx into Montana. So what we'd like to do is have that permanent credit in everybody's tax bill. They can see it. It's transparent. And it, you know, frankly, Montana taxpayers are paying for the infrastructure that all these tourists use. So we should get a piece of that money on our property tax
bill. Yeah, they're paying bed taxes. I used a hotel in Helena last night. I paid bed taxes. Yeah. So, yeah, instead of using that money to go tell people from Seattle and Chicago about how great Montana is, why don't we let the great Montanans keep a little bit more of their own?
Right. You know, we're tired of competing on our rivers and our parks and our national parks for space. And this, frankly, probably Yellowstone did more for Montana than anything we could ever advertise. But that's not to say we're not going to quit advertising Montana. We're going to continue to do that, just at not the level maybe in the past. And they had extra money in those accounts, too. So we can get that as a property tax credit and the homestead exemption.
Yeah, very. And the homestead exemption basically says, okay, if you're a Montana homeowner, not second residence or whatever, this is your primary residence, that's where that particular exemption would apply. And so effectively, right, what could that do to your average constituent's property tax bill?
Well, we're shooting for about an 18% reduction in that property tax bill. And the thing about property taxes is the Montana state legislature controls the rate, but we don't control what's being collected by the schools, the cities, and the counties. And so if we drop the rate on a home, that's going to necessarily shift that amount of money that's being asked for to somebody else. It's going to shift to commercial or agricultural or industry or somewhere.
Because they'll just tweak it. They'll say, okay, we're getting less from over here. Now we're going to ask for more from over there.
Right.
Unless you craft it the right way.
Right. So we've decided that we're going to shift it to out-of-state homeowners that are not Montana residents.
All right. And we also got to continue to be pro-business, because if we rebuild our industrial base, we'll get more revenue coming in that way as well. Senate Majority Leader Tom McGillivray, we got to take a quick break. If you got to run, we understand. But if you want to stick around, we'll come back to you right after this.
Yeah, we'll stay here and talk a little judicial reform.
Perfect. All right, stand by.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, back to it here with Senate Majority Leader Tom McGillivray here in the House, a state senator out of Billings, Montana. Yeah, if people, seriously, if you missed the hour-long program we had, we re-aired it on New Year's Day. So if you go to the Montana Talks podcast, go back to January 1st, you'll see the full hour with Senator McGillivray talking judicial reform. So, because we're just going to do a quick couple of minutes here today, but and then we also had another hour with Rob Nadelson, former University of Montana constitutional law professor, on the same subject but from a different angle. So 2 hours, definitely put that in your podcast playlist. But Senator McGillivray, yeah, I'm seeing it. This looks like we're starting to see some committee action on some of these proposals already.
Right. Yesterday in committee, Senator Emmerich and myself presented bills, and I think Senator Fuller also presented a bill. I'm not sure which one he did. But Emmerich did partisan elections, and the governor's office is certainly behind that as well. They came in and testified. Lieutenant Governor did. But what our perspective is with partisan elections, we got partisan judges.
Yeah.
So obviously, when you have partisan judges, we should be transparent and just tell us where your biases are. Everybody's got a bias, and I realize that judges should be fair, they should be follow the law, they should follow the Constitution. But frankly, some of our judges in the state of Montana are, I believe, beholden to these liberal environmental groups, left-wing groups that fund their campaigns. And so if you're going to be that way, then just say you're a Democrat or say you're a Republican.
Just be honest about who you are and what you really believe.
Yeah. The most asked question that legislators get at election time is, who are these judges? We don't know anything about them. We have no idea if they're good judges or bad judges. Help me. And that leads to a bill that I brought yesterday, the Judicial Performance Evaluation Commission, which will actually go out and evaluate judges on metrics like, do they get their work done on time? Are they carrying their workload? Do they follow decorum in the courtroom? Do they treat people right? And are they following the rule of law? And other types of, you know, judicial policies that are good for Montana. And ultimately those scores will go into a voter information pamphlet. So voters have something that's objective and that helps them understand this judge is a good judge. Or this judge didn't score very well. His demeanor in the courtroom is not nice to people.
You mentioned that state Senate committee hearing yesterday. And actually, yeah, last night I saw an Instagram post by, I think it was the Republican Senate Majority Leader, Kyle Schmock, and his team. And this was classic. So I think it was one of the Democrat lawmakers was asking questions of Senator Emmerich from Great Falls and saying, well, what about this and how come this and how come that and how come this? And Senator Barry Usher, the chairman, I believe, made a great point. He said, Representative so-and-so, you were invited to serve on this Senate Select Committee on the Judiciary, right? Yes, I was. And you declined to participate in the Senate Select Committee on the Judiciary. That would have been a great time to get all of these questions answered. I thought it was about a really good point.
That was a good point. And unfortunately, we wanted Democrats to participate.
Yeah.
But let's be frank. Let's cut through the BS and all that. The legislature has many attorneys here. We have a whole plethora of attorneys downstairs that look at every single bill that comes through this legislature to make sure it's constitutional. We look at every bill. You see Democrats look at bills. Republicans look at bills. Two different chambers look at bills. The governor has their attorneys. They look at these bills to make sure they're constitutional. Then they get out in the courts and are declared unconstitutional. It's kind of amazing to me that happens to us on bills that it's jaw-dropping in some cases. So we wanted Democrats to participate in that committee, and they just said, no, we're not interested, because at the end of the day, Democrats have a governor de facto in the courts to veto bills. Yeah. And they don't want that to change.
I love the governor's line in his State of the State, nonpartisan in name only. And I love he called him out right in front of him, too. Yeah, that was great. Well, Senate Majority Leader Tom McGilvery, hey, you know, we oftentimes have open phones. I'm a little busy next week because we got the SHOT Show in Vegas. We got Trump's inauguration in D.C. But pretty much the rest of the time, we really like to leave things open. Anytime you need to be on a microphone, get an important message out, get some information out, let us know, or just call into the show and we can typically figure out a time to get you on.
Great being with you today.
Yeah, appreciate it. Thanks for your time, Senator McGilvery. All right, next up, another great lawmaker from the Billings area here, House District 38, Representative Greg Oblinder. And Representative Oblinder, it's great to see you again. I last saw you in Roundup for the Montana Pro Coal Rally. So good to see you again.
Good to see you, Aaron, and good morning to you, and good morning, Montana.
So now you're a doctor back in the Billings area right now, so now you're trying to, pull a little resuscitation here in hell.
We're trying to do that, of course. Things certainly are ramping up after this second week is ending. We're seeing a lot of bills starting to come forward that finally got into the system and are working their way through it, so it's going to continue to ramp up, and we're going to see a lot of good, strong bills come forward.
It's great to be here. Thanks to the Montana Electric Cooperatives Association. They've got co-op day at the Capitol on Monday. So, hey, if you're a co-op member or you want an excuse to come say hi to your lawmakers, Monday's a great day to do it. But really, our opportunity today is to preview that event, but also just open up the microphone to lawmakers like you. And what do you want to tell people across Montana? What are some of the specific bills you're working on?
Thank you. It's a great opportunity, and I encourage Montanans to go online and look at the legislative portal and be able to see what bills are coming forward. Pay attention to what's coming forward, because there's bills that we as legislators, we need to get your input. We need to know what you're thinking, what you feel, and look at those bills and find out how it may affect you and be able to understand what that bill is all about. Sometimes we as legislators even, we look at a bill and we have to read it two or three times to really understand. So I just really encourage Montanans to pay attention to what's going on here in Helena.
Well, one of the things, who were we talking with? There's going to be a bunch of bills focused on the. Oh, it was Representative Steve Fitzpatrick was walking down the hall. He popped in the chair real quick. He said, we're going to have a lot of bills to try to rein in this outrageous Held v. Montana ruling out of the Montana Supreme Court, the crazy climate kids lawsuit, where they want to effectively veto anything all in the name of hopey climate changey stuff. And it's like, if you really are concerned about what you say you're concerned about, you should be in L.A. fighting fires right now, and you should be in China fighting them. Helena is not your fight. Montana is not your fight.
That's exactly right. And you will see some bills coming forward. Very important bills where we're going to try and deal with NEPA and those types of things that are affected by the Held decision. And so we're going to try and straighten some of that out and make things more definitive, better able to withstand the scrutiny that comes forward on any bill that somebody brings forward. I look at the Northwestern Energy Plant there in Laurel. That's one of them that's kind of on the hot seat right now. And so we're trying to address those issues that we can, recognizing that Held is always going to be thrown in our face, but we also recognize that we as legislators can ultimately make decisions that can make those rulings more palatable and more business oriented so that people can, in fact, have the energy that we need.
I just got a great message on our Montana Talks app a few minutes ago from Tammy in Kalispell. So we were also talking about property tax relief, property tax reductions. You probably heard Senator McGilvery talk about that. And, hey, you know, give Montanans a break and let the out-of-staters pay for it, right? Tammy in Kalispell said this. I don't know if you watched the Pete Hegseth Secretary of Defense confirmation hearing, but Democrat Jack Reed out of Rhode Island, you know, was kind of obnoxious. And so anyway, Tammy said this: I heard that U.S. Senator Jack Reed owns a home on Flathead Lake. I look forward to having him pay my property taxes. That would be a nice change. Huh? Yeah, he does. At least last I checked, I think he's got a cabin right there near Rollins, because I've got some friends that got a place there. We were walking down. It's like, oh, you got Wayne Newton. Wayne Newton's place is over there. And apparently Jack Reed has a place there, too, if I'm not mistaken.
That's right, Aaron. One of the interesting things that's coming forward is there's a bill that I'm sponsoring with actually a Democrat. And the intent of that is to actually go after some of these tourism dollars to come into Montana. We get 13-plus million tourists that come through Montana each and every year. They're not really paying their fair share. They don't pay income tax here. They don't pay a lot of things for the infrastructure, things like that, that we as taxpayers have to pay for. So the intent will be to have them pick up some of the tab. When we go to their states, we always have to pay excise fees. We get hammered with a lot of extra expense. They tell us it's going to cost us $100. And the time we get the bill, it's $140.
Yeah, I almost got PTSD driving through a lot of those toll roads, because it's like flash, 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 all the flash. Whoa, 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 hey. You know, it's like you see the flash of light before you hear the boom. So I'm like, whoa, whoa. Oh, it's just the plate readers for the toll booths and things. All right, well, we got to take a really quick break here. Yes, yep, we got a break coming up here in 30 seconds. Representative Oblinder, if you got more you want to talk about, feel free to stand by. We can come back to you right after this. Or if you got to run, we understand that as well. So appreciate you coming down to join us. Co-op Day at the Capitol is this Monday. I'll be in D.C. for Trump's inauguration. I know some of you are like, I want to be there too, but I'll tell you what, great opportunity to come to Helena, meet your lawmakers and more on Monday. We got a great lineup here for the rest of the morning as well. Stand by.
Fox News commentary.
The FDA bans red food dye due to potential cancer risk. I'm Tommy Lahren. More next.
I'm Benjamin Hall, Fox News senior correspondent and New York Times best-selling author, and I'm searching for heroes. Every Monday, I'll speak with a few silent but noteworthy heroes, everyday people who illuminate stories of compassion and are true embodiments of heroism. Make sure you subscribe to my podcast, Searching for Heroes with Benjamin Hall, wherever you download podcasts, and please leave a rating and a review.
Some of the dyes, additives, and preservatives allowed in our food is banned in other countries, but with the newly announced ban on red dye 3, the USA is finally taking it seriously. Food manufacturers have until January of 2027 to remove red dye 3 from their products. This applies to any food imported into the US as well. The FDA ban also extends to dietary supplements and ingested medicines. This particular dye is synthetic and made from petroleum. It's used to give food and other products their bright cherry red color, and while that might look pretty, evidence in lab rats suggests it could cause cancer. The dye was removed from cosmetics 35 years ago due to that risk, which begs the question, why did it take so long for the FDA to ban it in our food? According to FoodScore's database, nearly 3,000 foods have been shown to contain it. I'm not a government ban type of gal, but this is long overdue. We shouldn't be eating, drinking, or ingesting toxic dyes, period. I'm Tommy Lahren, and you can watch my show, Tommy Lahren is Fearless, at Outkick.com.
Join Fox's support of families impacted by the California wildfires. Your donation enables the Red Cross to respond to and help people recover from this disaster. Visit go.fox/Red Cross to support these efforts.
Riley Gaines not only testified before the U.S. House of Representatives, she testified in Montana, too. Check out the full audio and much more. Go to MontanaTalks.com.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. With cloudy skies and some scattered snow showers around the area today, up to an inch or two possible, mainly in the Bozeman area. Temperatures falling in the teens in Bozeman, falling back through the 20s in the Billings area. For tonight, scattered light snow showers with some light accumulations. Low temperatures from 3 above in Bozeman to about 12 in the Billings area. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
Hey, I know we've got a lot of Montana Talks listeners that are joining us from the Capitol. Maybe you're a state legislator. Maybe you're a citizen who's there to lobby for good legislation. Maybe you just live in Helena and you want to come join us for Friday's Montana Talks. Either way, want you to come by, say hi, join us on the microphone if you want to as well. We are going to be live from the Montana Capitol this Friday, previewing Monday's co-op.
To lose. But whatever you do, don't let it get worse. You don't have to live with this anymore. Go check it out now. Just click over to crystalflesh.com.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
I got everybody asking, how are the roads to Helena? Well, the roads to Helena were great yesterday. Today, the roads to Helena might be a different story with all the snow out there. But hey, that cold's coming back. How many of you can feel that cold coming through your windows? Well, you know, we're talking a lot of energy today. If you can feel the cold coming through your windows at your house, you're going to need some new windows because you are losing a lot of money on your energy bills. Or hey, you know, spring is right around the corner, home improvement time. Maybe you want to transform your bathroom into a spa-like retreat. Let me tell you about YHIC, your home improvement company. They got a couple of unbeatable deals going on right now for your windows and if you want to transform your bathroom space as well. Here's the unbeatable deal when it comes to windows. Buy two windows, get two free. Yes, free. That's a deal you don't want to miss. For your bathroom, you can transform your space up to 30% off on a bathroom remodel. Imagine turning your bathroom into a spa-like retreat. Financing. Now, the financing is a key because you can get that bathroom now, but pay later. No money down, no interest, no payments until 2026. Call 406-948-2836 to schedule your free in-home consultation. Again, that number, 406-948-2836, or you can go to YHIC.com. Hey, we got a quick few minutes here left in this hour of the show. Representative Jerry Schillinger out of Circle back with us. He said, hey, he's got one more thing he wants to share with our listeners here before we run out of time. Jerry, thanks for coming back.
Well, thanks, Aaron. Actually, I could have several things, and I would just like to throw out, I was scrolling headlines here while we were waiting, and one is the liberal papers all want to portray the opportunity for the judges to declare their partisanship in the races as us making judicial elections partisan. We're not making them partisan. They already are.
Exactly.
We just want some transparency on where those partisanships are. The other thing that's a really big issue that we didn't talk about that is going on is that we are sending now up to about 600 prisoners out of state just because of the overflow conditions at Deer Lodge and in all of our city and county jails. We need to clear out the spaces so those people that shouldn't be on the street can be incarcerated, because right now it's a catch and release because there's no place to put them. So that's a really big deal, and that's with Core Civic, that company that already has the prison in Shelby, the private prison, and they've been a great company to work for, cost effective, and while it may not be the ideal thing to have to send people out of state, it's one of the core responsibilities of state government is the safety of our citizenry, and that's so I think that's a great move that we're doing there.
That's right. Whether ship them out of state, house them here, just hold them somewhere. By the way, just saw Representative Katie Zolnikoff walk by. Great to see her, and I saw Daniel Zolnikoff last night as well. Representative Oblinger, we were talking here, you know, with Ryan Hall from Mecca and more about how, you know, a lot of people don't really pay attention to some of these bills until they hit the floor. Sometimes that's too late. You got to get involved at the committee level of the process. But a lot of this inside baseball people, you know, hey, they got busy lives. They're just not tracking it all. So with about a minute to go, what's the most important thing you want to tell our listeners?
One of the biggest things they need to understand is any bill that comes to the legislature, it first has to go into committee. And that's where it gets vetted, questions get asked, and different opponents and proponents come in, informational witnesses, and they provide information to all of those that are on the committee. And that's the chance that bills get heard and really get vetted well. It's way before it gets to the floor. Once it gets to the floor, it's already been through numerous processes or steps, if you will. Typically, a bill in Montana will go through 40 to 50 steps before it ever gets to the governor's desk. So there's a lot of opportunities, but people need to pay attention to the bills. Every legislator is assigned. So,
and Ryan Hall made a great point. You know, would you rather try to convince 13 people on a committee or have to convince 100 people on the floor? And so that's the importance of getting involved at the committee level.
Exactly.
All right. Great to see both of you again. We're going to continue our coverage. We've got some great guests. Mark Hayden with Missoula Electric Cooperative. Gary Wings, the CEO of the Montana Electric Cooperatives Association. The Speaker of the House and more coming up.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
Most states have a dominant urban area in Washington, Seattle, or King County. And just about everything about the economy there is hugely different from the rest of the state. Incomes, housing prices, and growth. Montana doesn't follow that mold. Our bigger cities are closer to being equal sized. But the differences across the state, especially when it comes to growth, are no less dramatic. Unlike the children in Garrison Keillor's fictional Lake Wobegon, not all counties in our state can be above average when it comes to growth. But the speed at which some western and southwestern counties are diverging from the slower-growing Highline and eastern Montana counties is cause for concern. To take the most extreme example, over a five-year period since 2018, Gallatin County, which includes Bozeman, grew by more than 8% per year. On the other end of the spectrum, some of the more populous Highline and eastern counties have averaged negative growth. It's hard to strike a common theme and to have common interests when the gap in fortunes is so wide. I'm Patrick Barkey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.